Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting today with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which I will link to below. Now, Joel, we've had a lot of great discussions this year, a lot of lively discussions throughout the year. And look, the whole fact of the matter is some of these discussions got lively because of the fact of just how resilient the U.S. equity markets have been, and the back and forth that we kept debating on when it comes to inflation, when it comes to Fed policy, and then even these different COVID variants that have perked up. I want to really focus and look into next year, and all those points that I just made, I think they're all going to be closely monitored heading into next year. So let's start with the U.S. equity markets. And again, as much as we want to say that breadth is generally weak, or investors might be getting maybe a little bit defensive with some of their positions, U.S. equity markets continue to push to new all-time highs. We're not at the end of the month, but it is looking like, barring some major circuit break-like sell-off, that the markets are going to end either at all-time highs or near all-time highs. Joel, what does this mean for you heading into next year? Do you carry any of this year-end action into the following year?
Good afternoon, Corey. Thanks for having me. I guess in this market for this year and the last 2 years, you got to kind of expect the unexpected, right? A lot of volatile moves in both directions. Everyone is, you know, we're looking for the Santa Claus rally here the last 5 days of the trading year. And then, you know, the first, you know, 2 days of next year will be Monday and Tuesday. And, you know, it seems like everyone is combing the ditches, you know, for these growth stocks and, you know, other stocks that have been, you know, very beat up throughout the year for tax selling. But I mean, I always find that, you know, bottom fishing, you know, a dangerous sport to do. And you can complain about you want, about the breath, about, you know, all the negatives in the market. But if you are indexed, which I am with a lot of my investments, hey, it's not so bad. A few of the, you know, growth stocks that I've owned had some profits in and I let it go. I'm not going to be adding to those positions. But yesterday was a key day for me. And the reason it was a key day is because a lot of the new all-time highs and things that we've made, new all-time closing highs, have been by incremental amounts. Well, yesterday, you blew it away. You set a new all-time closing high in the index by 50 points. And a little bit of struggle, a little back and forth action here today. But, you know, if you talk about a melt up, I look at yesterday as like the start of it. And today we're taking a little breather, you know. Now, you know, there's always, you know, things can always change. But, you know, the way I'm looking at it technically, to distance itself and make a new all-time closing high by that, I think, I don't know. I think it's going to be hard to break this market going into year end. As far as next year goes, I'm just kind of sticking with what I had. I'm not doing any really crazy reasset all the allocation. I'm not going to comb the ditches for these growth stocks or biotech stocks or other stocks that have been beat up. So, I mean, some people are successful at doing that. That's not what I'm planning on for the new year.
Well, Joel, a lot of times people end the year with kind of some book squaring just for optics as they close out one calendar year. And then moving into January, some funds, some institutions, some Wall Street players will start rebalancing their portfolios, looking for the sectors they think will exceed in the year to come. Do you think we'll see a lot of that kind of rebalancing this year, or will it just be more of the same? Because as we were talking about offline, it seems like if you just stick with the indexes and stick with the high flyers, you've been insulated not just last year, but for years. And those that have veered off that path and tried to pick some individual stocks maybe didn't do so well. So will it just be more of the same, or do you expect a big rebalancing to start the year here in January?
I frankly don't see it. I mean, you know, I think that they will maybe try and get a little bit more conservative. And I know with the threat of higher rates, you know, no one wants to talk about, you know, dividend and higher yielding stocks. But, you know, you get a pop in something like an AT&T that's been a big underperformer, or Comcast. Maybe people that aren't that, afraid of inflation are looking for some return, may go to those stocks, at least if you're getting, a decent dividend, decent yield. Yeah, well, inflation's eating into it. But if you could get a little principal appreciation in some of those stocks, it's boring and no one likes them. But, the safety trade could be the trade for the upcoming year. Goes kind of contrarian to what's happening with interest rates, but I think, being a contrarian, in these kind of markets sometimes can be to your benefit.
Joel, any chance that those that have been saying you need to short these markets, big correction is coming, it's going to be fast. Fact of the matter is, anyone that's been trying to short over the last decade, man, it's been a tough game. Will next year finally provide some better shorting opportunities in your eye?
There's been plenty of good shorting opportunities, just not in the indexes. You look at something like the Peloton and the Zoom and, some of these vaccine stocks that went to astronomical levels. So, and then that stat about, a lot, the average NASDAQ stock is down 40%. So, yeah, there's always shorting opportunities, but maybe just not in the indexes. I would say the only fly in the ointment right now, the S&P with its, narrow scope is blasted to a new all-time high. But the triple Qs haven't, right? So that's not a good sign. That's up near all-time high, but hasn't busted through. And the same thing with the diamond, with the Dow Jones Industrials. So, if you want to be cautious, you'd be saying, hey, it's not the broad-based rally. The S&P's got ahead of itself here. The other indexes are not, are not confirming. But with these breaks in the markets, the shorts are tired. They're beat up. These, they've been so short-lived. So, barring another serious round of the virus or some geopolitical things, you could short. I think you just be selective, and unfortunately, you get one good day, one and a half good day, 2 days on the downside, but doesn't seem like you can let. If we could get like three down days in a row, like down 500 in the Dow, down 500 in the Dow, down 500 in the Dow, then you can start to get a little bit pessimistic. But until you have that, it's hard to fight the tape.
Great point, Joel. And most of the shorts have been bulldozed over the last decade, or really over the last 12 years since 2009, since the biggest rally we've ever seen in the markets started and has continued. One other question that we were mulling over offline was Fed policy and how it may react if we start seeing disinflation. A lot of people think we may be at a high watermark right now. In November, we had 6.8% CPI reading, 8.5% PPI reading. If those are the high readings for inflation and it starts trending lower to 6, 5, 4, would that give the Fed a little more wiggle room to say, hey, maybe we'll pace ourselves a little bit more. Maybe inflation's not so bad. Give it time to work itself out. And how would that affect the markets?
I think that's what basically, they telegraphed what they were going to do at the last Fed meeting when they were speaking on the Hill. And I think, that's exactly what he's trying to do. He's trying to step it back a little bit and say, hey, yeah, I've acknowledged that it's not transitory. But, supply chains, working their way through. You go from a closed, totally closed economies across the world to open. You do have supply chain issues. But I think exactly that he'll say that, that he's waiting for, the data, he backed off. So if the beta backs off too, then he'll be able to stick with his, with the current pace. Now, if the data, comes in, worse than expected on the inflation front, then yeah, that he's going to have to step it up to the plate. But I think it's exactly the case of him, putting it out there, going back that, hey, it's not as transitory as I thought, but in the back of his mind, he may be thinking, yeah, give it a couple more months.
Joel, how do you see the taper and then rate hike process going next year? Because the rate hike, I guess, expectations have been pushed so far forward now to the first half of next year coming up. That was earlier this year. People were pointing to 2023 is when the rate hikes could happen. What's your outlook? It's really a guess. I realize that. But how do you think this all plays through the system?
I think that rates are going to go up incrementally in 22, maybe in 23. But unless you just get, you know, another whiff of major bad number, you know, like 10, you know, indicating 10, 12%, then no, I think the Fed's going to stay the course.
Well, Joel, there's one other question I have. We've heard a couple generalists that we've brought on the show say there may be a migration back out of growth stocks, which have faded a little bit, and maybe into value in an environment where a rate hiking cycle kicks off. So I guess that would play into that more defensive nature. But
yeah.
Do you see that kind of a rotation from growth back to value possibly for 2022?
Yeah, I mean, these growth stocks, I mean, they had their runs, right? And, you know, there are companies that, you know, evolved from, you know, the tech bubble in 99 and 2000. There are a handful of companies that today have clawed their way back. There are probably some other ones out there, but, you know, you got to be a stock picker. You got to find those ones. As far as just a, you know, a broad-based recovery in the growth stocks, I mean, I don't know. You just got to pick your Apples, your Googles, your Amazons or whatever, and hope that you can find, you know, the best of the lot. But I think the trend of value is going to continue.
Now, Joel, I guess the final point that is still driving markets is COVID. COVID-related outbreaks, potential COVID lockdowns. The U.S. does seem to be moving forward with stuff, trying to resist locking down. We've seen other countries start to go through a bit more of a lockdown process. It's a real, I think, dichotomy that we're seeing from country to country and how they're starting to handle this COVID. Is COVID still going to be critical to watch heading into next year because of the fact that some governments still might lock their citizens down?
Oh, boy. I mean, I think we're at an important stage right now. And, you know, with the Omicron, a lot of people have been affected by it. And I'm, you know, trying to keep like a positive outlook on it and that, you know, we get through this stage. I think, you know, there are going to be other variants. There are going to be other things. I think if people, you know, follow the protocols and take care of themselves, do the things that are right, I think it will dissipate. And, you know, once again, like the Fed's, you know, data dependent. This is all data dependent, too, on what happens with the virus. That's something impossible to predict. You know, looking at it from, you know, what's happening with this wave, I don't, you know, obviously the market doesn't think so, right? But the market is not afraid of it. So if the market's not afraid of it, then I'm not going to be afraid of it either.
There you go. Watch what the market's doing, right? The market is a great forward looker in a sense. Always trying to discount, always trying to price in what is coming down the road. And right now, you're right, the market is not all that afraid of this new variant, but boy, seems like we're going to get a different variant every about 6 months. So all depends on how the governments handle it. And you're right, the governments are also going to be data dependent. Joel, great chatting with you, buddy. Thanks for all the time you spent with us this year. I've really enjoyed all of our conversations. And heading into next year, I'm sure there's going to be a lot to talk about. And we're all wondering just how next year is going to play out because of all these different variables. But hey, that's fairly similar year after year. Joel, thank you again for all your time. I hope you have a very happy new year, buddy, and we'll chat in 2022.
All right. Thank you.